Good morning. Greet each one in the name of our Lord Jesus. And as I often do with the words of 2 Peter here, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Multiplying grace and peace. Grace and peace be multiplied. How? How do we accomplish that? Well, we do it by taking in the Word of God, right? By putting ourselves under the teaching of His Word. By taking in the Word of God and putting ourselves under the teaching of His Word, we come face to face with God and we get better acquainted with Him. We multiply grace and peace according to the short text that we just read here by adding knowledge to our existing knowledge. So we have a level, we have a degree of understanding, we have a level or a degree of knowledge. But if we're going to multiply grace and peace, we need to add to that knowledge that we already have. Amen? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I like the fact that it says multiply. We're not just adding. Grace and peace be multiplied. What's the difference between adding and multiplying? I mean, you can add and you can come up at the same number in the end. But what's one of the major differences between adding and multiplying? It's quicker. You get there much quicker, right? I mean, there's fast ways of adding. You can add one, you know, 1 + 1 = 2, and 2 + 1 = 3, or you can add by fives or tens or twenties, whatever. You can add pretty fast, but it's still not the same as multiplying. Multiplying gets you there much faster. Now, when you consider the Christian life, and I believe that the Apostle Peter had a, you know, he had a burning desire to see the Christians, the believers in his day, to grow in their walk with God, to grow, to mature. And, I mean, if we see someone adding to their Christian life, I am excited with that. I like that. It's growth. But when you see someone that's multiplying, it's really exciting. Because it tells you that they're spending time with God. They take their relationship serious. Now, there's biblical mathematics of adding. The Bible uses that as well. Actually, if you were to read the verses just following the verses I read to us out of 1 Peter 1, it talks about adding to our faith. But in this case, Peter says multiply. May it be multiplied. So, brothers and sisters, the greater our understanding of God, the greater the level of grace and peace we will experience in our lives. Is knowledge important? If you put it in the context of what we're talking about here this morning, how important is knowledge? Not just any knowledge, but knowledge of God. and of the Lord Jesus. How important is it? When is the last time that you purposely, intentionally set out to grow your knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus? Like you purposely, intentionally took the Bible, the Word of God. You purposely, intentionally put yourself maybe in a setting of a Bible study or in a setting like here this morning. But you did it intentionally. You did it with a purpose of growing your knowledge. Not for the sake of having more knowledge. That's vain. But intentionally and purposefully doing this to grow in our Christian experience. How important is it to us to have the grace and peace of God ruling in our lives? How important is that? Now, I think we would all deem it very important, and rightfully so. Because without the peace of God, without the grace of God, there's no such thing as being a child of God. So they're very important. They're vital. So through our increased knowledge of God and of Christ, we multiply His grace and peace in our lives. Through our increased knowledge of God and of Christ, we grow in our understanding that God truly has given unto us everything that pertains unto life, this day-to-day living, and the spiritual life, godliness. He's given us all things. And we grow in that as we add and keep adding, keep multiplying our knowledge of Him. It settles it more deeply. Amen? The more we confirm it and reconfirm it, it settles it. It roots it even deeper. Through our increased knowledge of God and Christ, His many promises just take a deeper root within our hearts. We partake of His divine nature, Peter says. What does that look like? Partaking of His, growing in our knowledge, okay? We're talking about multiplying the peace and grace of God. Peter says, thereby we partake of His nature. What does that look like in our lives? If that's happening, what does that look like? Well, could we say with the words of the Apostle Paul that we are being changed from glory to glory to glory? We are being changed. We are being conformed is another word that the Apostle Paul uses. We are being conformed more into the image of God Himself. The very image of Christ Himself, is that not part of becoming, you know, taking part of His nature? That you and I resemble Him more and more and more? I think it is. I think it ought to be. And then lastly, Peter says that through our knowledge of God and of Christ, we keep ourselves. We keep ourselves. He says, we escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. We keep ourselves detangled from the affairs of this world. So, brothers and sisters, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Let's stand to our feet for a word of prayer. Father God, we come before You here this morning, and we thank You. We thank You for this gathering. We thank You for the opportunity that we have in this land in which we find ourselves to still have the freedom to gather openly like this. We thank you, Father, that you have preserved your word over the years, this written word. We have it in our hands. We have it before us. We have it in our homes. We thank you, Father, that through your word, you have a heart and desire to reveal yourself more and more unto us. You have a desire that thereby we would grow, we would mature, we would become more and more settled and stable. Father, this morning as we put ourselves again under your word and we share a few thoughts from your word, we pray, God, that you would take and multiply those crumbs to us. I pray, Father, that each one of us here would benefit from having spent this morning together like this. We pray for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The subject that we want to talk about somewhat ties in with our opening. I'm not sure how well we'll be able to tie everything together. I know we're not going to be able to say everything I would like to say. But I think it's a topic that each one of us will be able to relate to. Some to a greater degree than others, but I think we'll all identify with it. It's one that we all, as Christians, must contend with. Maybe I shouldn't even do that. Maybe I should just do this. Faith versus feelings. Put that in the context of your Christian journey. Vital. Amen? Impossible without, right? Can be detrimental. This can kill. And yet we both, all of us, we have. If we're in Christ, we need to contend with this. We need to contend for the faith. We need to contend with our feelings. So it's a bit of a sensitive topic, perhaps. Some of us are a little more sensitive in our feelings than others. Some of us are more emotional than others, so it can be a bit sensitive, and I just want to acknowledge that this morning. And I have no agenda at all to attack feelings and make feelings to be out as something not good. In fact, we'll establish the fact that they are good. They are good, but they can be detrimental. So I've titled the message this morning, Living by Faith versus by Our Feelings. But I think if we're honest, we probably all find ourselves sometimes living by our feelings instead of living by faith. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith it is impossible to please God. So that tells us living our Christian life by our feelings is not pleasing to God. Now, that does not mean feelings never come and are never a part of our Christian experience. But they're not the engine. They're not the motivation. They're not our drive. Are you following me? I'm going to ask us a few questions. Do you ever find that your feelings want to override your faith? Raise your hand. Do you ever find that? You're not alone. Do you find that your feelings want to control, or they want to dictate the very course of action in life? Can you recall times where you lived by your feelings, your emotions, as a Christian, instead of by faith? I would love to stop right there and now just take some feedback. What was the result of that? Where did that take you? Or that you were driven by your feelings. I've been there. Driven by my feelings. It was my feelings that drove me to do what I did. But then in the end, those feelings let me down. Are you following? I was disappointed, yet I felt like. So we are tackling a very complex topic, really. And as I prepared for this message, at first, now some of you will chuckle at this because you know me too well, but I thought we could just have a short, sweet, little service on this topic, and boom, dismiss early, have time for a lot of feedback. Yesterday in the afternoon, or in the morning sometime, whenever it was, I told my wife, I feel like I'm about halfway in my preparation for the message. And so we decided to bring my in-laws, some of the medication that they had asked for us to bring back for them from Mexico. So we went there. And, I have 4.5 hours of meditation with the drive there and back, and come home, and I run into my office, and I have thoughts. It's late at night now, or not late, but bedtime. This morning I thought, ended early so we can have a lot of open feedback. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I mean, I hope we get feedback, but we're not going to finish, and definitely not early. So none of us should find themselves alone in what we've talked about so far. I think every one of us, to one degree or another, can identify. I'm not different than you, and you're not different from me in that sense. Feelings, emotions, they are a blessing from God. And again, I want you to underscore that, because you might feel like as we go on that I'm attacking. And I would love to just get rid of, annihilate feelings from us. No, please note and underscore the fact that our feelings, our emotions, they are a blessing given to us by God. They are part of that creation. When God created mankind, emotions weren't something that evolved and became a part of man afterwards. It's part of the initial creation. And when God looked and said, "Behold, it is very good," it included our feelings, our emotions. There's nothing wrong, there's nothing sinful about our emotions. But, God has never intended that our emotions should rule our life. We are to rule our emotions. Are you with me? You and I'm responsible to direct my emotions, and you are responsible to direct your emotions. It is vital that we do this. If you and I fail or neglect to keep our emotions in check, what happens then? Again, I thought about just leaving this open right here and just taking feedback, because the answers are many. But what happens? Think. If you and I don't harness and properly channel our emotions, then what happens? Or what can happen? One, I'll just say, they take charge of our control center very, very, very quickly. They naturally, you know what they say of people, different characteristics, different giftings within people. Well, he's a natural leader. He naturally just takes charge. She does, he does, they do. Right? You've said it. You've probably heard it if you haven't said it. Well, our emotions naturally take charge. If we let them. Are you following? Can you identify with that? And it's not saying that our emotions never should take charge. But you and I need to keep that thing in check, or those things. But that's what happens if we don't. They take charge. They very, 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 very quickly become the GPS within us. Map out the course in life, the direction in life that we take in that moment. Not only do they affect the decisions that we make, but they dictate the decisions. Is there a danger there? Do you hear an alarm sounding? Again, our emotions are God-given and God-designed. You and I, mankind, we are emotional creatures created so by God. And very, very plainly, it's very easy to see that life's events and external circumstances have an effect. Our emotions, our feelings. But I'm going to say, as much as they do affect our emotions, there's a huge difference between being affected or getting all tangled up in our emotions and uncontrolled thereby. Our God-given emotions are good. Nothing wrong with all the different emotions that we have. You ever stop to ponder and try to count how many different emotions mankind has? If I was given the task, and if I was given the choice, if I wanted to choose, try to count the emotions of a man or a woman, I would definitely choose man. Because it seems like women have more emotions than man does. Or they just come out more. I'm not sure. Maybe we all have the same amount. But we have a lot of different emotions. They're good. They're right. But left unchecked, they've been as good as they are, and as the blessing that they can be, they can become our curse. That's a bit of a strong word. But what is a blessing on the one hand can be the curse on the other hand. I appreciate what Charles Spurgeon is quoted as having said in this regards. I quote, "Christians have experiences and they have feelings, but if they are wise, they never feed upon these things, but upon Christ himself." End quote. We have circumstances. We have feelings. We have different experiences. But those are not the things we feed on or feed up on. So what are some of the dangers associated with living by our emotions, aside from them taking charge and becoming charge of the control center and affecting and dictating our decisions? Aside from that, I have five dangers that I would just like to bring to the surface. A person that is living, okay, now this is in the context of a believer, this is in the context of a Christian. Everything we say here this morning is in that context. A person that is given to living by their emotions instead of living and taking God at his word, by faith. Here are some things that I've seen that can happen. One, it terminates relationships. Think about it. You're emotionally driven. We're all in some type of friendship. We all have different relationships with different people. If you're emotionally driven, it can terminate relationships. What today seemed like yesterday seemed like a good and healthy relationship can be terminated by the end of the day. Because your emotions. Because from 8 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night, who knows what transpired? We all had circumstances. And those circumstances affect us and they affect our emotions. Now we allow the emotions to take over. And this is now you and some other people, or at least one other person, if it's a relationship here, there's at least one-on-one. Depending what we do with our emotions, they can terminate that relationship just like that. And then tomorrow, we feel different. And then we try to reestablish that relationship, and then something else pops up, and we terminate it again. That's one. It's very sad when relationships are based, their value is based on feelings. Relationships should never be based on feelings. You know, often the motto is, if I'm not feeling it, it must not be right. Feeling. Feel good can be very, very blinding. Can be very deceiving. Secondly, on the flip side of terminating relationships, I would say that if you're emotionally driven, you can also build unhealthy, premature relationships. Because it feels good. It feels right. I like him, her, or them. I like their character. I like the way they conduct themselves. It's all about feel, 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 feel. And so this good feeling blinds you to perhaps a great need. It's like a young couple that is courting. They hardly see the needs in each other. They're blinded by love. Then they get married, and then some of the realities, some of the flaws, some of the needs, some of the weaknesses come out that they didn't see before. Could they have seen it before? They could have, but they were blinded by love. Emotions, building a relationship just purely on emotions or being driven emotionally can do the very same thing. I have heard, and you probably have too, where a young lady and a young man develop a relationship with each other against the counsel of parents, against open sin in a person's life. But because the feeling is there, they go ahead and they build this relationship to disregard all counsel given to them. And it ends up in a very sad situation. I'm thinking of one right now, a youth that would have been a youth in my days. They got married like that. And that marriage did not last very long until he was off somewhere else. And she's left at home raising some children. He would leave, come back. Leave and come back. Leave and come back. And I don't know how many times he did that, but out of it, several children were born. What chaos. If only the emotions could have been kept in check. And heeding the counsel that was given by parents in this situation would have done that. So relationships can be terminated or bad, unhealthy, premature relationships can be built based on emotions. Both can be bad. Thirdly, it can result in both physical and emotional pain. Living life driven by emotions can result in a lot of pain, physically and emotionally, mentally. Take the emotion of anger. Anger is probably one of the ones that we would identify as harmful much quicker than some other emotions because it has a bit of a deadly blow to it, or can have. But some of these other ones are killers just the same. They're just a little more silent, a little more subtle. But take anger, for example. Anger is an emotion. And people have done all manner of crazy, abrupt things out of anger, including killing people, driven by the emotion of anger. End up killing someone. Anger is an overwhelming emotion, often causing people to lose total control, total self-control. James says, for a reason, the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Number four, living and driven by emotions very quickly can bring a person into bondage, real bondage. Take fear for an example. Fear. Now, fear is not so, it's not like anger. It's not as deadly, isn't it? I mean, it's quite a contrast between anger and fear. But which one is less dangerous? Don't both end up killing? You see how fear can just bind you, bring you into a bondage, a prison cell of your own, so fast and so tight that you can hardly live life. Well, you don't live life. You try to live life, but you're not living life. Fear is often accompanied by anxiety and worry. And this unleashes a bunch of other emotions. Bondage. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. But what has he given us? He's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what God has given us. Number five, living life controlled by our emotions, our life becomes a roller coaster ride. I don't know if you've ever been on a roller coaster. Life becomes that. Our feelings are unreliable and undependable. Do you agree with that? Our feelings are unreliable and undependable. What you feel right now, you may not feel in 10 minutes from now. So, with those of you who agreed that our feelings are unreliable and undependable, then why would we allow feelings to rule our life? I think many times feelings take over and we don't even realize it. And it's dangerous. It's detrimental. And that's why I start off by saying these are things we must all contend with. Basing life on our emotions results in us being very, very, very unstable. Our emotions change as our circumstances change. Right now, you could be sitting here saying amen and be in agreement with what you're hearing, and then 2 minutes from now, I say something and you're like, what? Where did that come from? Who gave him the right to say that? What authority does he have? Just like that, it can change. Am I making my point? Our emotions change with our circumstances. Our emotions change with our process, thought process. Our emotions cause life to be like a wave on the sea or on the lake. Roller coaster. Makes a man very unstable. It makes man just as undependable and unreliable as our emotions are. You agreed, many of you agreed that our emotions are unreliable and undependable. Well, when we're driven by our emotions, you have become just that. I become just that. Unreliable and undependable. And James would say this classifies as a double-minded man who's unstable in all his ways. Whew. So are these, no, let me add the sixth one yet. A life lived and controlled by our emotions leads to deception. Because our emotions are unreliable and undependable, they can lie to us about something that's true, and they can, you know, well, am I a child of God or not? Well, right now I feel like I am. I feel pretty good. Maybe there's something wrong. Maybe there's something wrong. But because right in the moment you feel pretty good, you take confidence in your emotions. The next time, your heart is to walk with God, your heart is to serve God, but that feelings aren't there. Am I a child of God even? So they can tell you that you're a child of God when you're not, and they can tell you that you're not a child of God when you are. Very, very deceptive. Unreliable. Undependable. But very much a part of us. Something you and I will never separate from who we are. And if we get there, we'll talk about it. So are these dangers that we've just kind of talked about, are they enough to show us that it's not safe to live the Christian life based on emotions? There's a lot of people that are doing a lot of good in this world as professing Christians, but they're basing it on their doing. They feel good about what they're doing. Very dangerous, because as soon as that feeling goes away, so will the doing. Just a matter of time till the doing, the right doing, the good doing dies out, because it was fueled by a feeling. So God calls us to live the Christian life by faith. By faith. Not just any faith. Not just whatever faith. Not a blanket faith. But the true faith. The biblical faith. What the Bible calls the most holy faith. We're to live our life by it. I'm going to quickly read to us a number of verses. Jude, he writes, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith." Hebrews 10:38, "The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." That struck me in preparation for this message. I've used that verse in regards to backsliding, and I believe it fits the context. The principle is there. But notice, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back from what? Not just God, drawing back from God altogether and going the opposite way. No. If any man draw back from their faith and reverts to their feelings, their emotions. Are you following me? It's not so far removed as I sometimes have thought it was. The just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, if any man reverts back to feelings, leaves faith to walk by feelings, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Puts a bit of a serious note to it, doesn't it? There's one Old Testament scripture, Habakkuk chapter 2, chapter 2. And I find it interesting that we find this phrase in the Old Testament. But in Habakkuk 2, verse 4, we read, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." And then lastly, 2 Corinthians 5, 6, and 7, "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith not by sight, not by our emotions. So the Christian life is a life of faith, not a life of feeling. God's word does not promise us that if we are saved and live for Him, that we will always be happy and feel good. Does He? Now, some do preach that and proclaim that as part of the gospel message, but that's not biblical. Many, many a person has this concept, though, that if I give my life to Christ, then I should, generally speaking, be happy. Well, you should be. But your feelings may not always accompany that reality of what you should be: happy, joyful. There's a difference between joy and happiness, which we might get to, we might not. So many, many a person has, because they've embraced that concept, they've made shipwreck of their faith. Why? Because they were pursuing their emotional feelings instead of pursuing God. They were pursuing, depending on, expecting feelings. And when they didn't come, they crash. I'm not even sure I'm a child of God based on feelings. Oh, I read 1 John, and 1 John would confirm me as a child of God, but my feelings aren't there. So we go by feelings. And we throw in the towel. Not we, but many a professing Christian. That's what they do. Feelings override the Word of God. Our feelings are extremely powerful. So why did they make shipwreck? Because their feelings didn't come as they had expected they would come. And then they begin to waver. And they lose their way. And while maybe there's something wrong with the church I'm attending, maybe that's the problem. Maybe the way I'm worshiping God and have been worshiping God, there's something wrong with that. Maybe it's just too dead. And so we go to a different church. We change our worship style. Many people do. And you embrace something that is today considered more contemporary. And by contemporary, I'm referring to where it's highly emotionally driven and geared. And you go there and you put yourself there and they pump up your feelings. And you feel pretty good about yourself. Oh yeah, yeah, I think I am a child of God. Yeah, no questions, I feel good. And then some time goes by in that setting and those feelings dwindle. They're no longer able to pump you up emotionally. And then you're back to square one. I wonder if I'm even a child of God. And maybe you take the time and you examine yourself again and you go to 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. You go to the Gospels, the words of Jesus, and well, they would, you know, I can relate to all of them. They would say, I am a child of God, but I certainly don't feel like one. This church change, this worship change didn't cut it either. And then they continue on that downward spiral. Start to drink a little. Just can't cope. Some even start doing drugs. Many, many a thing that a professing Christian will dabble with and play with and experiment with in hopes of reviving this feeling of when God has called us to walk by faith. Brothers and sisters, many a Christian has made shipwreck. Many a Christian home, a Christian marriage, a Christian family has suffered due to maybe one spouse or the other being controlled by their emotions versus their faith in God. Today, my emotions tell me I don't feel like going to work. So you let the emotions rule. And you don't go to work. Maybe a mom, a wife at home says, today my emotions, I just don't feel like cooking for the family. And so I don't cook. Let them fend for themselves. Maybe a mom says, today I'm just so tired, that's been so noisy, children have been so rambunctious, I just don't feel like being at home with my children. And takes off. Husband or wife says, I just don't love my spouse. I just don't feel it. They leave. You know, absence makes the heart grow fonder, they say. So I'll leave. Come back. See if the feelings are there. Nope. Okay, gone again. Then many end up finding another person. Very sad. Emotionally driven. Today I don't feel like going to church, so I don't go to church. Today I don't feel like schooling my children or sending them to school, so no education it is. I don't feel like submitting to authority. I don't care if it's governmental authority, whether it's parental authority, whether it's church authority. I'm just using authority as an example. I don't feel like submitting, and therefore I rebel. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like reading God's word. See, all of these things based on our emotions. I'd like us to note something here, and I think you know this. Whenever we don't do what we should be doing because of our feelings, we automatically replace what we should be doing with something we should not be doing. Almost 100% guaranteed that that's what you'll do. It's not just now that you don't do what you should be doing, but now you replace that what you should be doing with something you should not be doing. All because of our feelings. What a roller coaster ride. Many, many hurts could be avoided if only our emotions would be kept in check. And the ones that we hurt the most is ourselves and the ones that are closest to us. And if asked, we would never have said that I'm setting out to cause them or myself any hurt. But because of our emotions, it happens. Faith, brothers and sisters, faith is to trump our feelings all the time. There's never a time where feelings have the right to be in front of faith. In the sense of controlling and directing. Faith is what should motivate us in what we do, how we live our lives, not our
feelings.
Nothing in the Christian life is based on feelings. Nothing. The Bible nowhere ever tells us that we should feel a certain way, or try to feel a certain way, or expect to feel a certain way. The Bible says, by faith. By faith. And so very often. Here's another thing that feels, this will be number seven. We'll just keep adding to that danger list. Here's another one. Our emotions most often rob us of God's blessings. But it feels good. Yeah, it feels good. And then the blessing of God is withheld or taken away from you. Short-lived. Is repentance a gift? Is repentance a gift from God? Are there blessings of God that flow out of a heart that repents? We would say, yeah, of course, right? It's the goodness of God that leadeth man to repentance. But I don't feel like repenting. How often do you hear of people repenting because they felt like repenting? See, so many of our feelings are part of our flesh. They come out of the fleshly side of us. And normally you won't be filled with feelings of repentance. Now, feelings can bring about an awareness, you know, the need for repentance. And feelings can be a powerful tool in that sense. You know, you're under conviction. Conviction brings about feelings. But Yulia, it's not one that motivates you to, hey, you know, come on, you go. No, Yulia, it's heavy, it's hard, it's painful. But you know if you do it, if you take God at his word and you repent, he'll give you freedom. He'll give you peace. And so they can play a part in bringing you to a place where you repent, but the feelings themselves hardly ever will they tell you or make you feel like you should actually do it. What is repentance? Repentance is a change of mind that results in a changed life. It's a change of mind about God. And as we do that, we reject the mindset we had of ourselves. You can't have a change of mind towards God and keep the same mind of yourself. It's a change of mind about the whole aspect of salvation. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 7, "Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of." And then he talks about the contrast, the sorrow of the world, which works death. The word sorrow here is not so much a feeling as it is to be sorry about things. It's not primarily an emotion here. But with sorrow, usually there's emotions coupled with it. Or that lag, you know, come in behind it. But repentance, is repentance a feeling? Is repentance a feeling? It is not. Repentance is a gift from God that we do in faith. Repentance, how can I say this? Repentance can result in some beautiful feelings, but it's not a feeling in itself. So repentance isn't a feeling. It is a command that we do by faith. How about saving faith? So a man repents by faith, takes God at his word, comes to a place of saving faith, faith in God, taking God at his word. That's what saving faith is. Romans 10:13 says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You take God at his word. That's saving faith. It's a coming to Christ, taking and responding to Jesus' invitation when he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Saving faith. Feeling? No. No. It's not a feeling. It's a responding to an invitation and grabbing a hold of, by faith, not feelings, by faith, the promise that I'll give you rest. All that call upon me shall be saved. By faith. Repentance isn't a feeling. Saving faith isn't a feeling. How about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? Oh, there's a lot of confusion on this one. I trust not here, but in general Christendom. Oh, this process, this experience of receiving a gift of the Holy Ghost, that is largely an emotional experience in much of Christendom today. But is it a feeling? Is it an emotional thing? No. It's by faith, just like repentance, just like saving faith, so is the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. It's by faith. We take God at his word. We're not guaranteed to have all kinds of fuzzy feelings when the Spirit of God moves in. Those feelings would take away from faith. We are to be filled with the Holy Spirit, as Paul writes in Ephesians 5, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Really, be filled with the Spirit. So what are we looking for? Well, we're not looking for a feeling. We're looking for a filling. Hey, huge difference. We're looking for a filling, not a feeling. What does that look like when that happens? Because you may not feel much different in your fleshly body, in your day-to-day life. You may not feel much different. So how do you know that the Spirit of God actually moved in and took up residence within you? Again, this whole thing is by faith. But there is fruit that manifests. It results in us surrendering, having surrendered and keeping on surrendering to God and his leading. We yield to him. We gladly submit to him. It results in, as Paul writes there in Colossians, I think it is, or maybe it is even Ephesians. I think it's Colossians. It will result in you singing. You might sing a song you never sung before. These are evidences. These are fruits that the Spirit of God moved in. But they may not change your feelings. So we have briefly touched on the whole process of being born again into God's kingdom. Really. Repentance. Saving faith, and receiving the Spirit of God. After all these things happen, what is the command in Scripture that should be happening as a child of God now? Grow in grace. Oh, is that a feeling? I mean, now you're a child of God. Now you're inside the kingdom of God. Now we're to grow in grace. Is that a feeling? And it's past 12. That's where we'll leave it. You pray for me. We'll see if we'll continue this. But I think it's vital that we grapple with this one. Our emotions, as much as they are a blessing and God-given, can be detrimental. Can be the very thing that curses us. Scripture tells us, in relation to our mind, our thoughts, to take every thought captive. Why? Why is that important? For the very same reasons, take your emotions captive. Keep them in check. And that's, we'll leave it there. God add his blessing.